You're listening to Central Time. I'm Dean Knetter, in for Rob Farah today. Now it's this week's edition of Food Friday, and we're not going to overthink things. It's fall, and that means apples are ready to use in the kitchen. We're going to talk about expanding the varieties of apples we use, not judging one by its cover, and getting creative in how we cook them. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. What's your favorite way to use apples in the kitchen? Your best recipe for baking with apples? What's the most creative way that you've integrated apples into a recipe? And have you tried a new variety lately? What'd you think? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Laurel Burleson is the owner of Ugly Apple Cafe in Madison, and she's with me here in the studio. Laurel, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Well, before we dive into the cooking and the baking, I just want to find out a little bit more about your business, Ugly Apple. Can you tell us how it started and where the ugly aspect came from?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm a chef by profession. I'm been at it now close to 20 years. I started when I was in high school. I loved it. Went to school in the UP, Northern Michigan University, to get a degree in hospitality management, always with the goal of being a chef and eventually owning my own business. And what that business would look like changed a lot over the years. But as I worked in some larger, more corporate environments, like a major convention hotel and things like that, food waste really started bothering me. Mm-hmm. You know, and there's like a certain amount that restaurants can try to do with it. But it was just something that's kind of an ongoing problem. And the more I kind of dug into it personally, I realized I wanted to focus on it as part of my business, and that especially food from farmers that is locally grown and perfectly good, but might be blemished or scratch and dent, that sort of thing, like, should not go to waste. And so that's why I decided to call my business The Ugly Apple when I opened it, going on 7 years ago now, as a food cart, focusing on the foods that would go to waste, but that don't deserve to.
Yeah, I think I saw you talking somewhere about beets in a fine dining restaurant that you need to be cut into cubes, but that means you're losing like 30% of the beet.
Exactly, exactly. And it's like, oh, you want like a perfect beet on this beautiful dish that's supposed to be art. And I understand that. But then it's like, well, yeah, once in a while, sure. But like, what happens to the rest of that beet?
Yeah. Well, when it comes to apples, I don't think there's one conventionally attractive apple because there's so many different types. We probably see about a dozen in the grocery store. But could you just tell us about like how much we're missing out on in the world of apples?
Yeah, well, we're really lucky here in Wisconsin that there are tons of orchards. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some of the orchards I work with grow like over 120 varieties of apples. Like, insane. And some of that has to do with the way, and again, I'm not an orchardist. They can really go into a lot of detail if you're interested. But apples don't seed the same variety, so they have to kind of splice to make the same type of apple grow on a tree. So I feel like there's a lot of different kind of like varieties that are possible. And it's really amazing. And starting a lot earlier than you'd think too. Like some apples ripen, like the first one's like the end of July, beginning of August.
Oh, it's a pretty long season, isn't it?
Yeah. And then some can winter over, you know, the later varieties. Once it gets cold, they're still good. And then they can winter over kind of into the spring.
Wow.
And if, you know, held in the right environment, like in a refrigerator. So it's pretty amazing, like, what's possible. And everything from, like, very tart, very juicy to, I mean, super sweet, and all sorts of different textures for different either baking or making sauce or making soup and kind of anything you can think of.
And I understand you have a story about learning about the golden russet apple in particular.
Yeah. So this was like the first year that I opened, and I was working with an apple orchard, and it was maybe like February or March, so like wintered over apples from that fall. And I had been going pretty small scale, just getting like 10 or 15 pounds at a time. And the it was Appleberry Farm on the kind of the western side of Madison. And I was asking Farmer David, like, hey, which ones are good for sauce? He would kind of let me choose like of what he had stored. And he was like, oh, golden russets. And I had passed them over the last couple weeks because they were brownish and they looked like they were kind of soft. And they were just not the ones that I was choosing. But I was going to trust him. I wasn't going to argue with him. So I was like, okay, I'll take 10 pounds of the golden russets. And they were not mealy, not squishy, like amazingly, like a little bit tart and a little bit sweet, but also just like had this bright juiciness. They became like instantly my favorite apple.
Wow.
And it's like a perfect kind of lesson because these are like brown, like russet. The word russet is like russet potato. Like russeted is kind of like a texture and a color. So like not shiny, not pretty. These are like the ugliest apples. And I like kicked myself a little bit because I called my business the ugly apple and that I was passing up the ugliest apples that ended up being the best, like the most delicious.
I've seen those apples too, and I have passed them over because they're not that attractive. And I guess that goes to show, talk to the person growing them.
Yeah, definitely. Trust your farmer. And I mean, that's kind of across the board. You know, there's, again, in Wisconsin, we're lucky to have a lot of farmers markets. And if you can have a conversation with the person growing your food, you can find some real gems of things that you might not be your favorite, but give them a shot. And, you know, this year at the cafe, too, we got some amazing green beans. And you wouldn't think there'd be that much different in green beans, but these were super sweet, delicious, not starchy green beans. And it was like, whoa, that's, but right from the farmer, we're really lucky to have that.
Yeah. And we are talking right now with Laurel Burleson, owner of the Ugly Apple Cafe in Madison. We're talking apples on this edition of Food Friday, all types of apples. And Laurel, you gave us a couple of recipes. These are up at the WPR.org/Food Friday webpage. One of these, I love butternut squash soup. This is a butternut squash with apple soup. Can you tell us about how this one comes together?
Yeah. So one thing I really like about winter squash, so, you know, the butternuts, acorns, pumpkins, even there's a ton of, let's talk about varieties of things. There's a ton of different winter squash varieties, too. But I like butternut because it's easy to get to at, you know, grocery store or farmer's market, and it can really go a lot of different directions. And so I think a lot of times squash soup kind of leans towards pie. It's very like spiced cinnamon, nutmeg. But I like this one because the apple and onion makes it kind of bright and savory and fresh. And so between the onion, garlic, and sage and brightness of the – you use a tart apple.
Okay.
You can use a sweeter apple, too, if you want it to lean more into that, like, squash sweetness.
Mm-hmm.
But this one's more, like, sweet, savory, a little bit tart. And it comes together really easily, especially if you have, like, an immersion blender. You can just kind of not worry about chopping everything super fine as long as it's all about the same size. You cook it till it's soft, blend it all up, adjust the seasoning, and you're done.
Yeah, and how do the apples get incorporated into there?
They go in with the squash. So for that recipe, I peeled them. But also, it's one of those where like you don't have to. If you like a little texture, you can leave the skin on. And again, some varieties, if you leave the skin on, if they're a dark enough red apple, like I'm thinking like an Ida Red, which is like a later season apple, and a sweeter apple, they turn pink when you sauce them, and so it kind of like deepens the color a little bit of the soup too. But yeah, just core them, dice them up, toss them into the squash.
Delicious.
Cook down. Yeah,
we've got that recipe up at WPR.org/Food Friday. Let's go to the phones. We've got a caller with us right now. Christina is with us in Glenwood. Hi, Christina.
Hi there. Thank you. I am all for ugly apples. And I'd like to make apple cider, but I don't have a press. Do you have any ideas? Is this possible?
Oh, Christina, good question.
That is a good question. I have never tried to make cider without a press.
That's a good question. Christina, do you tend to like a sweeter cider or something more tart?
Well, what I like to do is blend a variety of organic apples. It doesn't matter. And that would include even crab apples. Just put it all together and see what you end up with.
Wow.
Yeah.
Very cool, Christina.
That sounds great.
There's a lesson in there in terms of blending different varieties of apples. Do you do that, Laurel, in your cooking at all?
Yeah, a lot, actually. I also make fruit leather. And so for that, I'll kind of mill a bunch of different types of apples together to kind of give a broader variety of flavor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I've asked folks at the farmer's market too before about like, oh, what goes in a pie? They're like, throw it all in there. Just, you know, do several different types of varieties of apples. That seems to work well.
Yeah. Yeah, but my instinct is that I think you need a press to really get cider. Like, you can juice apples, like, with a juicer, but that would be a different thing. I think you would need a press. But I'm not an expert in cider making.
Gotcha. Christina, thanks for the call. Laurel, you mentioned that fruit leather. How does one make that? That sounds really good.
Yeah, so I started just at home, too, when I wanted to. Basically, I was getting more apples than I could use in just baked goods. Mm-hmm. And so I was looking for a different product. And so I just got a little home dehydrator, actually from the thrift store, and started playing around with it. So basically, just breaking down apples, you can do them on the stove, just kind of like how you would make applesauce, but not adding any sugar. And doing it that way, or like now I have a food mill, which you can also buy for kind of breaking down tomatoes. So if people who process a lot of fruits and vegetables at home might have like a little kind of tabletop food mill, and just cook the apples until they're totally soft through, and then pass them through that until you get a sauce, like a pretty thick sauce, and kind of spread it depending on your dehydrator. Sometimes there's special sheets for them. But like not too thick, maybe, gosh, I'm trying to think. I do it by weight in my pan, so I'm trying to think how thick it actually is. Maybe a quarter inch. Okay. But then that's also something you can experiment with and experiment with different, adding chia seeds or flax seeds or different fruits blended in. Like I do six different varieties. So it's pretty easy to experiment with at home and find something that's unique that preserves a lot of apples for a really long time and that's sugar-free or no sugar added, at least, and a great snack. And yeah.
It's Food Friday, and we're talking with Laurel Burleson in the studio, owner of the Ugly Apple Cafe in Madison. And we're talking about using apples in the kitchen or on the grill or over the fire pit or any way you might want. You can call in at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have for our guest? Are you having any apple related recipes going in the kitchen? Maybe right now. What's your favorite recipe that you've made that you snuck apples into? And what is your favorite variety of apple this time of year? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation in just a minute here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Dean Kinetter. Right now, we're picking up our Food Friday talk with Laurel Burleson, owner of Madison's Ugly Apple Cafe. We're talking about cooking or baking with apples, all types. You can join in at 800-642-1234. We want to hear your favorite apple recipes, your favorite varieties. That's 800-642-1234. Before the break, Laurel, I mentioned the possibility of grilling apples. Is this something you've tried out?
Yeah, actually, in some different kind of recipes in the past here and there.
How does it work?
You need an apple that's pretty firm. Mm-hmm. So not like a Macintosh, something like a baking apple, or some sweeter ones too. I'm trying to think of like a Zestar would be good, maybe, or like those Ida Reds that I mentioned, or again, like a baking apple, like a Granny Smith, or the ones that I love to bake with are, it's like a weird like French heirloom apple. and you get the grill really, really hot, and then just brush a little oil on the apples and give it kind of enough surface area. So like, maybe a half inch thick, slice, and kind of slice either from top to bottom or side to side. But just as long as you have something to grab with your tongs, and then just get them right on there and make sure they're pressed kind of down enough, and give them just maybe a minute or two on a really, really hot grill, and then flip them over and you get nice grill lines. That goes really well with like pork, for example. It kind of adds a little savory smoke to your apples, and then you're kind of two thirds of the way there with your garnish. You don't have to try too much harder.
I've tried making the apple onion garnish like in a saute pan before. I can't quite get the balance between crispness and mushiness of the apple. It always seems a little off. I mean, do you have any recommendations for like oil versus butter or medium versus high heat? It sounds like maybe high heat with the grill.
Yeah, I would say high heat and probably oil, but it also depends on the type of apple.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if you have one that's like gonna mush, it's gonna mush.
Yeah.
But sometimes I feel like it's one of those, like, if you can kind of get it to be part of like a sauce, sort of, it's like a little mush is okay.
Yeah.
Trying to think of
flexibility along the way.
Yeah.
Just like being able to go with it, whichever way it takes you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then that's kind of a lot of my philosophy with things at the cafe too. It's like, what do we have to work with? What do we get from a farmer? What's feeling good in the season? Like, what can we put together to make something that's like new and different, but yummy? And that's why too, even coming up with recipes for this segment, like the soup, it's like, oh, I don't really write that down. Mm-hmm. I should probably write this down as I go. So we had this squash soup in the cafe this week because I made it to, you know, make sure it was correct and not just the kind of bits that I throw in when I'm doing things in my head.
Sure. Let's go back to our phones right now. We've got Barry with us in Cross Plains. Hi, Barry.
Hi. I have a question. Many years ago, during a drought year, I bought Connell red apples, and they were the best apples I had ever tasted. Several years after that, the apples never tasted the same. What is the story there?
Well, Barry, thanks for the call. The Connell red, Laurel, is that one that you've had before?
That is not one that I've had before, actually. Connell red. I'm going to ask, I work really closely with Door Creek Orchard right now in Cottage Grove. I'm going to have to ask Liz about that. But drought year versus other years, I mean, would have a ton to do with it. And also just like the when the frost is and even for the following year. So the kind of anecdote I have about that is 3 years ago now, I think 2 or 3 years ago, Honeycrisp were not a thing that blossomed in Wisconsin, really, at least not in our region. And that's because the year before there was a frost in May that damaged the blossoms in such a way that the following year, so not even that year, but the next year, there were no Honeycrisp apples. And so much has to do with it. Like orchard owners and farmers who grow fruit and fruit trees, they have all my respect. It's such a touchy fruit, and it changes so much from year to year. So I maybe the drought year had something to do with it, and those being amazing. It's hard to tell.
Yeah, Barry, thanks for the call, and we will keep the Connell red on our radar. Laurel, I want to get to the other recipe that you shared with us. This sounds really delicious. Apple ginger muffins. Could you tell us how these come together?
Yeah, so it's a pretty standard. It's kind of like a cookie kind of procedure. You cream the butter and the sugar together and then kind of add the eggs and vanilla. One thing I really love about this recipe, and this is kind of a base recipe that I use for a lot. I can kind of switch out the fruit and the spice to kind of do a lot of different things with it. And because of the applesauce and the rolled oats in it, I think it's really hearty. Like it's not a muffin. But it's not dense either. It's not a muffin that's breakfast cake. Mm-hmm. I think some muffins, it's, you know, they might as well be a piece of cake. Like, put some frosting on it. You're eating a cupcake. but this is not like that. It's sweet, certainly. There's a lot of sugar in it. But I feel like it's also got some density to it in such a way that, like, stays with you for a little bit. And, you know, it's a treat, but it's a treat you can feel good about and not, you know, have a sugar crash 30 minutes later.
Yeah, and it has this awesome apple streusel topping, which is really good. I love that kind of like crunchy bit on top of the muffin.
Yeah.
And also something that surprised me, it doesn't have cinnamon in it, if I'm correct.
It does not. So I kind of took that as a special challenge. I got a tip that Rob, who also hosts this program, has a cinnamon allergy. And so I took that as a specific challenge to make apple recipes without cinnamon, because that's something that typically goes hand in hand. It's really hard to find an apple thing without cinnamon this time of year.
Yeah.
And people with a cinnamon allergy must really struggle with that. I have a few friends and acquaintances who have that. and shout out Margie. I would love to provide something that's still yummy and in that zone and has that same kind of apple spice element to it without the cinnamon, something that they can enjoy too.
Yeah, you can find that recipe at WPR.org/Food Friday. One more thing I want to ask you about. You have something on your menu right now, an autumn chicken breakfast sandwich with apple mustard. How do you make apple mustard? What's that like?
Yeah, well, there's a couple different ways. The one that's on our menu right now, it's really yummy. It's like a Jones Dairy Farm chicken sausage and a fried egg. And this apple mustard is apple butter. So basically taking applesauce and cooking it down very, very slowly until it's very rich and kind of the consistency of butter. A lot of people, when I say apple butter, they think like, oh, I can't have dairy. It's like, nope, it's just cooked down apples. You just have to be really slow and patient with cooking them down. And if you try to make it at home, be careful with spice because all of that gets condensed. So that's why I don't do any spice in this one. And then mix it with a couple different types of mustard so that it's a little bit tart, a little bit sweet. You get that mustard kind of bite that cuts through the richness of the sausage. And it's a really yummy breakfast sandwich that we have right now.
That sounds really delicious. Well, Laurel, that's all the time we've got. But thank you so much for coming up in the studio today and sharing all this with us.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. We're located downtown in Madison in the lower level of the Dane County Courthouse.
Yes, that is the Ugly Apple Cafe. Laurel Burleson is the owner. She's been with us for this week's edition on Food Friday. We've been talking about apples, all sorts of varieties, and what we can do with them. You can still let us know what you like to do with apples at by emailing ideas@WPR.org. That's ideas@WPR.org. And find those recipes at WPR.org/Food Friday for apple ginger muffins and butternut squash apple soup.